Good morning, everyone.
Welcome. Those of you who were here yesterday know we had a very wonderful retreat day with Swami Yogatmanandaji from our Providence Center. Swamiji has been here many times. We all know him very well. He's a member of the family here. We're always very, very happy when he comes. And this morning, Swamiji will be speaking a very interesting topic, the psychology of violence. So, Maharaj, I'll turn everything over to you.
Sahanavavatu, sahanaubhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu, mavidvishavahai. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. May we be protected together. May we be nourished together. May we work together with vigor. May our study make us illumined. May there be no hatred amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace. So again, let me express my heartfelt gratefulness to Swami Atmagyanandaji and all others here for giving me the opportunity to speak to you on a very nice topic, very important topic. When this topic was announced a week before that, one devotee was asking me that, how did I think of this topic? I said, well, I had been thinking about it for quite some time, that why do we have violence in society? Why do we have violence in our minds? And we should take a look at the primary cause of that so that the eradication of it would be possible. It is, Atmagyananandji asked me that, well, today also are you going to sit and speak? I said, no, today I am going to take a stand. In life, you know, there are occasions when you should take a stand. I had gone to one protest meeting about certain measures the government was taking about, you know, about the homeless people's allowances and all that. So, and then one speaker was telling, well, we have to take a stand. If we don't take a stand, we automatically fall. We have to take a stand. So it is. And it should not be like this story of a man who with his family had gone on travel. I read it in his travelogue that they had been to a very nice, very scenic place and staying in a hotel with a beautiful view. And he was thinking that this morning we'll go on a nice trail in the forest there. And then the wife said, "Well, we are going to go to the beach today." That is, I was not feeling enthusiastic about it at all. Drive for 1 hour and be in that crowded beach for the whole day. And I decided to take a stand. Sometimes I have to assert my rights. So I voiced very loudly my concerns. "No, that today I am not going to listen to you. Yes, we have to go for a walk there, not to the beach." And then I voiced my concerns loudly about it. Today, sometimes in life we have to take a stand, clear. We have to bring out our manliness. And so I said, "Yes, no, I'm not going to the beach at all." And as a result, I found myself and other members of the family driving to beach after 1 hour. So, but I am happy, he writes, "I am happy at least I made my point clear, you know, that I made my opinions quite clear." Taking a stand, I don't mean taking stand like that. It is, we should understand this issue about violence. You know, we have to take a stand. That why is there violence? First of all, this is very clear, isn't it? That nobody likes violence per se. At least vocally, we are all the votaries of non-violence. We do not want the wars to take place. We all know the bad effects of violence. Recently, we have a lot of the shootings in the schools and at so many different places. And so we then, this idea comes, you know, this thought comes, why do we become violent? It is when nobody really likes violence, why do people become violent? It should be, if we all do not want violence, this society should automatically be a non-violent society. But it is seen always, historically also, in the history, there is no time when there was a human society without violence. In fact, in Mahabharata, there is a very illuminating chapter about the questions asked by Yaksha to the King Yudhishthira. And then one of the questions that was asked was, "Ka Varta?" What is the news? The news. And that is the news what Dharmaraj told that gathering, that what is the news? "Asmin maha moha mahe katahe suryagnina ratri divendhanena masartu darvi parighattanena bhuta nikala pachati iti varta." The news is always people dying, people getting killed. That is the news. It appears that in this big cauldron, the king of death, the time actually, the word there is time, bhuta nikala pachati iti varta, that the kala, the time, is just cooking all the beings, killing them. There is a very big spatula in that hands of the time of this. There is the fire of this sun going on, and the time is revolving by the months and weeks and all these different units. That is master to Darvi Parighattanena. That is like the big spatula that is being used, and everybody is getting killed. That is the news. Even in those old good days, the newspapers would have only this as news. Has it changed? Open the newspaper today also, all violence. If we actually do not like violence, why is there violence? And we all know that the violence in the outside world begins from violence in mind. Even in the charter of UNESCO, their constitution, the preamble of it says that the wars begin first in the mind. So therefore, there should be the eradication of it in the mind through proper educational means. Very important statement that yes, the wars begin in the mind. And in that light, it would be very good to see the Vedantic psychology of it. And Vedantic psychology is not like what is taught in the academia or what is practiced mostly in the clinical, the psychologies, the practitioners, the psychologists. And that is very different from the psychology of Vedanta and Sankhya. I am going to discuss that Vedanta and Sankhya psychology, not what is taught in the psychology classes or what is practiced by the psychologist here. It is the Vedantic psychology depends on Vedantic cosmology, that how the mind is made, first of all, in this universe, what is the constitution of mind, where mind comes in the picture, and is the element of violence built in there? And if it is, then what is the solution for that? It is the source of violence lies pretty deep in our consciousness of this I and the world. We sense this I and the world. And this itself is violence. I and the world is a violent act. It is because in the origin it is all one. I and the world is a violence. It is divided. That is why, let me quote from Taittiri Upanishad, the Vedantic cosmology, and then let us see how the mind from it develops. That it is, in the beginning there is just the one self, there is nothing else. Although we have to use, because of the limitations of language, the word in the beginning, what it means is that there is no beginning, there is no time. And the self alone is. It is not myself or yourself, not my I and your I. It is the self alone is. And from that, the Upanishads describes, tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutah. From this self came out this akasha. Now akasha, here is a technical word that if you literally translate, there would be many translations, but one very commonly used translation is akasha, is like the sky. That is not the meaning here. Akasha is this time-space continuum. Now there is time and space. In this self that alone is there, there is no time, no space. So first appearance of this is time and space. Atmana Akashas Sambhutaha. Now you have space. Now the idea of space gives rise to multiplicity. Multiplicity gives rise to the space. See, what is space? If you read it, it was such an illuminating experience when I read about it in Swami Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga book. Otherwise, my idea used to be a common idea that we have space and there are things in this space. It was modified while I was studying the Einstein's theory of relativity. But the real understanding came while reading Swami Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga and the chapter Absolute and Manifestation. There he gives this, that look, it is not that we are in space and time. It is the space space gets created by our perception of multiplicity. There is, what is space? We see multiplicity, so there is the separation here and here. A distance between two objects gets called space. If there are no two objects, there is no space. So the multiplicity is that which gives rise to the idea of space. It is something that is not always very easy to digest, very easy to assimilate, because our understanding is we are in space. Do not think, we don't think that we are the originators of space. Our very perception of multiplicity gives this idea of space, that there is multiplicity. That is why we see separation. There is space between, say, I am seeing some space, some separation between Kumar Maharaj and Swami Atmagyanananji and Swami Brahma Rupananji. There is space. If I am seeing them as one, no space. Because I am seeing, say, Kumar Maharaj as one, I am not seeing the space between the molecules there. Because I am seeing one. If I get a microscope powerful enough, then I will see that there is a lot of emptiness, lot of space. That is how scientist, atomic scientist Rutherford found that the atom is mostly empty. It is mostly space by that experiment bombarding the atoms with the alpha rays. He found that most of them were passing clearly without any deviation at all. So the conclusion was the atom was mostly an empty space. So, but we don't see that because we see one. Otherwise, we would have seen Kumar separate, you know, various layers. But we don't see that. We don't want to see that. That is how the multiplicity gives rise to the understanding of space. If there is no multiplicity, no space. And also this multiplicity that we see is not a static multiplicity. It is a dynamic multiplicity. It is not just like a canvas on which there are multiple things painted. You see children playing on a playground and there are various playthings. There is a hill, a backdrop of a nice hill. So there are multiple objects, but they are static. So there is this sense of space between all these different objects that we see. But the sense of time is not generated there because it is a static thing. Our experience of the multiplicity here, how is it? It is a dynamic multiplicity. Things happen, things change. And then we perceive a distance between the events. Just as we perceive the distance between the objects, we perceive distance between the events that gives rise to what is called time. If there is nothing happening, there is no time. Because things are happening, now it happened yesterday, it happened today, that gives the sense of time. It is a dynamic multiplicity. Things change, things happen. It is not a painting on a canvas, but it is a movie. In the movie, things happen, isn't it? So it is that gives the sense of time. In the movie, that is how the time sense is generated. Well, although we are sitting in the real time, means the time of our normal waking state, in the movie, there is a different time. That, oh, this happened some years back, and then this happened now, it is, and the movie can be reversed also. It is that then the events will go backwards, as it were. That it is, imagine, I was so wonderstruck when that long back in my childhood, our one relative had brought some movie that he himself had shot some these movie clips. So he brought a scene from a swimming pool, a diving pool there. So normally it would be that somebody from the top would make a dive in the pool. But by mistake, he had put the film in the reverse order. So it was so wonderful to see that from the water, the fellow will just jump up and nicely get perched on that jumping stage. So it is, so when the things are reversed, the time scale becomes different. The whole idea of time becomes different. So, I don't want to dwell too much on this. It is because Vedantic cosmology itself is a very big topic, and then we will have to spend many lectures just on that. This today's topic will just remain aside. But some little part needs to be understood, that this is there right in the first manifestation of this universe, Akasha. The time-space continuum, there is a dynamic variety, there is a change, and there is a violence. There is a violence. What is there today does not remain tomorrow. Means what was there in yesterday is gone, is killed in a way. Today it is different. Yesterday it was different. Today, what was yesterday is not there today. It is gone, it is killed, it is no more there. A violence is there. It is, the violence is embedded right there. It doesn't get called violence, but if you see that this coming and going, it is a process that is the seed of violence there. There is, and also that oneness of the self. Self is one. Although we see the different bodies and imagine, therefore, or not just imagine, we are convinced that therefore the self also would be different in different bodies. The self here and self there. I don't think that it is same. And the self in the Swami and the self in, say, Dhanalakshmi there have to be different, because you see the different appearances. In our primary school, they used to ask a very nice question just to show that we should not just go by analogy everywhere. That this simple question, that look at the primary school kids, the question would be asked, look, that cow, what is the color of the cow? Is white. Look at that color of the buffalo, how it is, it's black. The color of the milk of the cow, how is it white? So what do you expect? The color of the milk of the black buffalo? And many of us would say, black! No, that analogy does not withstand that distance. It is. So similarly, we have to see that although each of us is different because of the difference in the body, the self in all is same, like the milk of the white cow and of black buffalo, both will have the white color. So, although we are different, not just human beings, everything in this creation that we see, each and everything. In fact, this Taittiriya Upanishad tells that they see the same self in what you are eating and what is being eaten. The same self in both. The same self in me, and if a mosquito is sitting and biting me, and they don't have different selves, different bodies, but the self is same in all. So, therefore, at the level of that sameness, there is no violence at all. Now, when there is this distinction, akasha, akashad vayu, vayur agni, agni rapah, adhya prithvi, that is how things go on grossifying from this sense of space and time. You get this sense of touch that is described by vayu. Then we have the other senses which are associated with some other elements. It's a beautiful, very logically presented cosmology and worth studying. But today we will limit only to this, that is the separation is because of the perception of multiplicity. And we do not like deep because of the oneness of the self. Because of the oneness of the self, it does not like. I am using the word like, but please take it in a bit transcendental sense. You know, it abhors the sense of differentiation. And therefore, we have this not liking the multiplicity gives rise to eliminating this multiplicity and the wrong way of doing it. There is the right way of doing it, there is the wrong way of doing things. So it is the wrong way of eliminating this multiplicity is violence, kill. It is killing. Our idea of enjoyment also therefore rests on this idea of killing. It is, say for example, I like ice cream. So, what do? I like means? I gulp it down, gone, you know, killing. As long as I do not eat it, I do not enjoy. It is otherwise ice cream there and I here. There is no joy. It is when the distance between them is gone. When I and ice cream become one, then yeah. So it is that violence is getting rid of the other. Getting rid of the other. So thus, now there is no distance between me and ice cream, so I feel happy. All enjoyments, friends, are of this type. Even what we call sex, it is the idea is to become one, to eliminate the distinction between the two. And so that you go to be one. You can't become, but that is what draws people together to be one. It is a wrong way of becoming one. You don't become one. Just as by eating ice cream, you do not eliminate multiplicity. But it is that is how the wrong perception gives rise to this kind of violence. That it is everywhere, therefore, this violence. I and the world, the basic line of violence. And because I don't like it, deep within me I don't like this, that I and the world. So what happens? I get the desires. Yesterday we were discussing a little bit about it. I get the desire, the I and the world, somewhere deep in me. I do not like this perception. And therefore, that dissatisfaction of this state comes out as desire. Desire to get things. What is this getting things? What does it mean? Getting things mean getting those things put in me. So remove the distance between that and this. That is the meaning of desire. Let me have that. Let me have that. Let me get that also. Let me get that also. We keep on like that multiplying. It is an unsatiating that propensity that people have. When it goes out of hands, then they are called the asuras or demons. How were these in these Puranas, the epic stories in the Indian religious literature? It was depicted that all these demons, these asuras, they have the desire to get everything under their control. Everything should become theirs. This is a distorted way of feeling that oneness. Do you see this? That actually there is oneness. But because we see the multiplicity, the desires come up. All the desires, they have this source, that, let that become mine. And then, since I cannot get everything made mine so easily, so what do? I form groups. I and like-minded people, that becomes we. I and we. And then the others, they have to be eliminated. They have to be killed. They are bad. By definition, I and therefore we are good. Isn't it? I am always good. It is what? Any problem about it? That I am always good, isn't it? The others have problems. That is a nice story. One lady took her husband to psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist asked that, what's wrong? Well, my husband thinks that he is a chicken. Oh my goodness, it's a terrible problem. How long this has been happening? The last 5 years. Then why did you not bring him earlier? You know, earlier we needed eggs. So, it is. Now you see, I am good, you know, that my husband has problem. he needs the psychiatrist's help. So, it is. By definition, I and therefore we are always good. It is, and those enemies, that is the axis of evil. They have to be eliminated. They have to be, so the wars come up. All the wars, that they are bad guys. We are the good guys. So let us kill that. In the children's stories, everywhere you read this, this is because of this psychology based on this Vedantic cosmology, that the division, we and they, we automatically good, they bad. So it is right from these very early childhood, these stories, they keep on making this understanding, we the good, the others, they the bad. So it keeps on getting more and more rooted in the minds. And so we are the good people, they are the bad people. When the circumstances change, you see, those who were bad, just because they now are our friends, they become good. When they are no longer our friends, again they become bad. It is good and bad. When we have to deal with some problem, then that's bad, terrible. It is, and when I don't have to deal with the problem, that's very good. There was one, you know, Chetanananji told his joke. He said that he had just come from India, so he didn't get the joke at that time. Everybody laughed a lot. What was that joke? That a minister told that, yes, there is, everybody has imperfections. Nobody is perfect in the world. We all strive for perfection, but there is nobody perfect in the world. Have you seen any perfect person? And then one gentleman raises the hand. Oh, have you seen a perfect man? Oh, yes, yes. Ex-husband of my wife. So, now she doesn't have to deal with him. So all the good things about him start coming, as if he is perfect and how bad you are. So it is. The problem is that wherever things are aligned with me, it is good, very nice, excellent. When separate, then bad, terrible it is. And so the war, the violence begins. See, violence is not killing. The word for in Sanskrit is himsa, which does not mean killing per se. It means more hatred, jealousy and hatred. In fact, in Bengali, hinsa is more used as being jealous, having the feeling of hatred. And that is actually the meaning in the word Sanskrit word also, hinsa, is not just killing. Otherwise, there would not be stopping of himsa at all. Stopping, because everybody, when I am breathing, hundreds of microbes are getting killed. There is no, I can't prevent it. Because if I say, no, I will not breathe because of this violence I am committing, I am killing hundreds of germs, then I'll be killing myself, which is again a violence. So no escape from violence. If you understand it with this meaning, that it is killing, that is not the idea. The feeling of enmity, that is what is violence. That person is bad, and therefore my enemy, and so I have to get rid of that fellow. See, for example, if somebody is eating a chicken, it is not with the idea that I have enmity against chicken. No, it is that chicken is being killed, I know, but not out of enmity. It is a nice chicken, and that is why I am making it my part, you see. It is. So it is, what I mean is, it is not that not killing is necessarily non-violence, and killing is necessarily violence. Violence is having the feeling of enmity and hatred. And that is how the word should be understood. And it depends on this, that, okay, I am separate, that is separate. And thus I am good and that is bad. I have to eliminate that. So, and the underlying psychology is this, that because there is actually the one self, there is anything, separation is not liked. And the wrong way of eliminating this separateness is to attack it, to kill it, to get rid of it, so that one remains. The human mind is prone to go for unity. Let us have unity. Why should there be so much desire for unity? Let us get united. United States of America. Let us get united. It is when there is a lot of discussion, you know, some years back, that red states and blue states, and it is so. Somebody said, soon if this goes on, there will be one part will be United States of Mexico, and other will be United States of Canada. So it is because we have the idea of unity, we like unity. It is that makes us feel good and happy, unity, because this whole universe is actually a unit. It is one. That is reflected in our language also. See, I, we, our community, our nation, we go on making the unit bigger and bigger, more and more encompassing. The whole universe, it is one family. As Vishwa Ekanidam Bhavati, that is how Chandogya Upanishad says, that this whole universe is now like one nest. All are together in one unit. So this idea of unity and sameness, we want that the same laws for everybody. If there is no, that person is treated differently, this person is treated differently, under the law, everybody should be same. We want sameness. We want uniformity. But although everything is diverse, you know, therefore can never be fulfilled as such. Goal of oneness can never be fulfilled in this manner. It will get fulfilled by this understanding that although all these are having diverse appearances, the self is same in all. They are one in the essence. I can give you many examples. Take up one example that you are familiar with. We all are familiar with that example. Animal crackers. And they all have different shapes, and corresponding to the shapes, they have different names. But are they not identical in their essence? In their essence, they are identical. Now, suppose, take it, you know, one animal cracker with the shape, say, a goat. Another animal cracker with the shape, a tiger. Now identified with the shape, their shapes, what will be? The goat will try to run away. The tiger would try to pounce on that. So that is when identified with their names and forms. But if they identify with the essence, suppose, just think, you know, one very nice devotee some days back brought, because this example I give many times in my classes, they're animal crackers. So she brought a big box of animal crackers, but with a caption on that, enlightened animal crackers. I like that, you know, enlightened animal crackers. Now, if one animal cracker gets enlightened, means what? Well, I am not this shape and this name. I am the same dough, like all other animal crackers. I am, say, my self. The shape is different, and according to the shape, I have got this name, a tiger. But actually, I and that goat, we have the same self. Now, will there be the idea of animosity? No. There is no idea of that is my food. No. It is that sameness comes there, because you see the one self appearing in all, and that completely changes our awareness. That is how you get to this idea of non-violence, that there is no violence then. You cannot stop killing. See, it is not that the becoming vegetarian is not becoming non-violent. The two things are different, friends. Becoming vegetarian people can be very violent. Could be, you know, yeah. It is not, somebody told Hitler was vegetarian. And I'm not raising that as an example. What I mean is that it is not that just by becoming vegetarian, you become a non-violent person. Nothing like that. Why are you looking at Kumar Maharaj? Okay. No, I don't want to. Okay. No, it was. I didn't hint, you know. I saw you looking like that. And so it is, so it is that becoming vegetarian is, I many times allude to that beautiful cartoon in this Global Vedanta long ago, a very expressive cartoon, that there was a big meeting called by all the vegetables. A big pumpkin was elected as the chairman, and he had a gavel in the hand, and he was, "Let us be united, all vegetables. This is the time that we should unitedly fight this double-pronged attack of humanity on us. These human beings, on the one hand, they want us to be eaten by them." Vegetables, you know, vegetarians. So the human beings are wreaking violence on us from both sides. On the one hand, they want to eat us. And on the other hand, they want to spare the animals that eat us. So, a double-pronged attack. So it is, the idea, there is, what I mean is that it is not that I am telling you to give up that vegetarianism or anything, but let us not identify it with non-violence. It is, one can be very violent person, even while being vegetarian. So that is, let us not identify the two things. What it means is seeing the same self. The same self. That is what is told in, again, in the same chapter of the verse, or same chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, after a few verses, that it is, see, the one who says that the same self, it is not, doesn't exist. The Brahman, when you see that the same self everywhere, the self is now all-pervading. And so it gets called the reality of the universe, that is Brahman. So if somebody rejects this truth, asanne vasabhavati asad brahmeti vedachet, that if somebody says that all-pervading self doesn't exist, then that person is denying one's own existence. That person oneself becomes non-existence, because that existence is, it is like the wave on the ocean, denying the existence of ocean. What does it mean? Its own existence is getting denied. And asti brahmeti ched veda santamenam tato viduriti. That is the definition of santa, the saint. The words, English word saint, comes from this Sanskrit word santa. Who is santa, who is saint? In Vedanta, you don't become saint by performing certain miracles. Only one thing is necessary. We all can become saints by seeing the same self everywhere. Santamenam tato viduriti. When you see that one reality appearing in all different forms, then you become a saint. The automatic outcome of that is then you see all the conflicting dualities, and it tells that here there is no cessation in this world. It survives. The multiplicity survives on conflicts. We want to eliminate the conflict, but the multiplicity survives on conflicts and contradictions. Some time back, you know, one very good, well-meaning lady, she asked me a question by email. She was following my lectures online on Jnana Yoga and was very much perturbed that, this contradictions and conflicts in the world and which give rise to wars, they cannot be eliminated. She was upset. She is that one of those peace activists. And so she said, Swami, do you really think that there is no possibility of having a violence-free, war-free world? I understand your point logically, that yes, there is no possibility of that. But do you not still have a hope that there will be one day when the world will be free from all animosity, all wars will be the history of the long gone past? It will be all always very nice, loving, caring, helping relations between all of us. Don't you think that possibility is there? I said, well, you yourself in your email said logically you understand that there is no such possibility. Why do we want to become illogical? There is the multiplicity survives on conflicts. There is the left and the right. We all, you know, in the capital, near capital. So you always have the conflict between the left and the right. And there was a cartoon in that New Yorker showing that all traffic jam, political traffic, all getting gridlocked. The left cannot go to left, right cannot go to right. So a conflict. It is left and right. But then without this, there is no multiplicity. There has to be left, there has to be right. It is. And the left say that the right is not right. So it is. The left say that there is nothing is left of the left. So it is. The conflict is there. That is described here, that that again the creation idea is brought in. So kamayat bahusyam prajayeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idam sarvam asrijata yadidam kincha tat srishtva tadevanu pravishata tadanu pravishya satyatya cha bhavat. It is, and what is that? That everything, that one reality, it is, where from this all creation came up. Well, it is non-existent. But since you want to know how it came about, let me describe it to you. The sages started telling that one got the desire. In many Upanishads, this idea comes that because how we have to give the human analogy to explain to a human being. Yesterday, somebody was telling me, you explained very nicely to a human being. So my reply was, I am a human being. Why do you degrade me? So it is. And it is so difficult to explain things to animals. You know, you need special skills. And it is so easy to give lessons to human beings, you see. So it is. Therefore, the human analogies, human way of understanding is picked up by the sages. How do you make a house? There is a desire first. So kamayata. So that also, in creating the universe, that had the desire, thought. Let me have bahusyam praja yeyeti. Manifest into this, all this creation, multiplicity, lot of people, bahusyam praja, srujeya iti, and then for that did the work, means tapa. This tapas means all that work in that direction. You have to work hard so you get warm, you know, tapa. So it is tapo tapyata, tapas tatva, then all this out of that. Activity, all this has been created, everything. Then after creating all that, it got into everything in the creation. Everything in the creation now is permeated by that creator. Tadanu pravishya satyatya bhavata. It became now that. And what is that? All the contradictions. Niruktam cha niruktam cha. That literal meaning would be that which is spoken, that which is not spoken. The hinted meaning is that which is in the Vedas and that which is not in the Vedas. It is also nilayanam cha anilayanam cha, vijnanam cha avijnanam cha, satyam cha anrutam cha tat satyam abhavata. All these conflicting, what Swami Vivekananda calls as the dual throng, all that was because of this creation is like that. The one reality, as it were, is torn. And as soon as you tear a paper, can you make just one piece of that by tearing? It is just two. Tearing means two. So our awareness has been torn into I and world. And so the psychology is to bring it back. Let us again, therefore, try to feel, try to see the same reality in everybody. That is actually the heart of what is called yoga. Karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, raja yoga, or whatever. The yoga means now, let us put this idea into practice in various ways. That instead of working just for me, let me work for other. So what do I do by that? What do I achieve by that? I try to see the same self. And it happens. It happens. As you work for others, one starts seeing that here and here, it is the difference is only superficial. We all will become then the enlightened animal crackers. Yeah, that yes, we will see. We are different only in names and shapes. The reality, the truth, the self is in that's one and the same. And then there is no question of violence at all. That doesn't mean killing will stop. Violence will stop from us. For that person who has become an illumined, enlightened cracker, that I is gone. And therefore, it is that, as Ishavasya Upanishad says, how can that person hate anybody? It is impossible for that person to hate anybody. So let us feel that oneness. Let us for a time, say 1 minute, let us close our eyes and let us immerse our separateness into that one and feel the intrinsic oneness. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.